Welcome, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers for this February 27th, 2023. 10:04 on the clock. You have your host, James J. here. I am joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul.
Morning, James. Morning, all.
And we are joined today by head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Peckman. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
Good to have you here. I want to send a big thank you to our friends at our friends at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the show, getting your words out. Big thank you to Phil and the gang over there. Be sure to join us on Wednesdays on the morning show. Right after Melissa's news, we have the Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from our friends at Quality Plus Printing. A lot for Randy and I to get into today, but of course, we're going to start off talking hockey because I run the show. No, I'm joking. You guys run the show, actually. It's your show to call in with your thoughts and comments and all that. But we have Coach Peckman in with us today, and we are in playoff mode around here, River King wise and stuff, as hockey fans. So I want to get started on that. Before we do, Coach, let's rewind a little bit to this weekend. King's successful 6-0 victory this weekend. Let's start there with that game and talking about that a little bit.
Well, it was a good rebound game after Friday. Friday I thought we played well in the first 37 minutes. In the last 23, we kind of fell off the map, and it was kind of disappointing to let that one get away, just momentum-wise, because I had a feeling that we would wind up playing them in the first round, right? So you don't want to give away anything on home ice. Mm-hmm. And then now the mentality going into the second game was you cannot lose this game, right? We can't let them feel like this is their home and come in here and take that advantage away from us.
Yeah.
So just the mentality and I think the lineup, and some of the guys really stepped up and I thought played tremendous and played to their strengths, and we pretty much rolled right from the get-go. You know, it was nice. It was good to see.
Yeah. The having a game like that to take into the playoffs, what does that mean for you as a staff, for you and your staff, and what does that mean for the players?
It means a lot. It means a lot, right? It's confidence, and it's about, who is ready to accept the challenge, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, playoffs is a whole different world. Yeah. And we were already, like I said, in that mode. Mm-hmm. But coming into that, especially the last game, it starts now. And I wanted to see how certain guys were going to respond. You know, we mixed up the lines a little bit. Again, we talked about that earlier, mm-hmm. right? About moving guys around and just trying to see, maybe going back to a combination I used in October. Who knows? But it's certain guys just responded very well. And it was good to see, because now they make it very tough. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be in the lineup?
Yeah.
You know, because now you got 15 forwards looking for 12 spots. Mm-hmm. You know, and we got a guy coming in tomorrow. So
that's right. That's right. So, yeah.
It's gonna be interesting.
You guys can't see this here, but the wry Cheshire cat smile on your face when you talk about this guy and you talk about those things. I love it. I can't get enough of it, Coach.
Coach, you had two fun stories that you were talking with me off air about what Will did, you know, at the end of that last game, as well as the playoff scenario itself, how that all unfolded.
Yeah. The playoffs, I mean, it really came down to literally after the last game and the other two teams. Isanti and the Ox were playing each other, so the Ox had to win. We had to beat Steele County. Now you got a three-way tie of 41 points. Well, and then the league has this formula that they concocted, and for some reason, the team with the most wins got last place, and we wound up playing the Ox. So that was kind of interesting how that played out. That makes sense, but anyway.
I'm with you there. No, I agree. Yeah.
I think Will's story was just, it's a storybook ending. I mean, it was unbelievable how it panned out. At both games, he started right off the bat scoring. The first goal, he needed three in that game to break the record. And it literally came down to the last minute, last 10 seconds. I mean, I was trying to get him on the ice the last 3 minutes.
I was going
to
ask. Okay.
No, we had it all set up. All right. Well, I want my three heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, you win a 5-0. You don't want to play like that. But under the circumstances, you want to get the kid an opportunity. And then we take a penalty.
Yeah.
And then we take another penalty. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God. So, and so he's looking at me, and I'm looking at the clock, and I'm trying to preserve the shutout.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to lose that either. So finally, at 40 seconds, I just threw him out there. I said, all right, go. And he held his own, and the next thing you know, the puck got free, and he's so big, and he's got that long range, yeah. and he's just poking, goes right around the guy, and he's gone, and beats the guy one-on-one, went right by him, and then cuts into the net and chips it in the upper corner, and the place went absolutely berserk. It was just tremendous. His parents were there in the stands, and it was great.
It went so berserk that the game stopped early, right?
Yeah, that's right. Everybody they all looked and go, and everybody left the bench, and yeah. The other coach just got on the ice, shook my hand. He's like, congratulations, and walked off the ice. And I was like, okay, well, I guess this is over. So it was good.
And these moments are important. We don't know what's coming with the playoffs. Nobody does. Anything can happen, especially in hockey. Throw out the records, all those old cliches. They started with hockey. I truly believe that those where all those cliches came from and everything. Because of all the sports, the major sports, I don't think that there's any more of a wild animal than playoff hockey on any level whatsoever. So many outside factors that you could have the greatest team in history and lose. we've seen so many different stories of this. When it comes to just appreciating the regular season, and for you and your staff, for your organization, for your guys, for this city, how do you do that? How do you, okay, guys, this is what we know we've had. This is what we've accomplished. This feels great. This is all well and good and everything, but we got a job to do. We still got work to do and everything. How do you balance that? And how do you get your kids to appreciate what they have had?
Well, you live in the moment, you're focused on what's next, and you've got to put that behind you, and your job isn't done. We didn't come here for the regular season, we came here to go to nationals and win a national championship. Now, do I expect that? Me personally, yes. I mean, that's as a competitor, everybody wants to win, right? But it was my goal this year to make sure that we came in here with a whole new team to be relevant in this league. It's not about chasing banners and all that other stuff. Right. It's about getting these kids to go where they want to go and help them develop as young men and as players. And more importantly is to not drop to the bottom of the division because there's a new coach, new staff, everybody's there, right? But be right there, be competitive, have people still talk about you and still worried about you. That's where I wanted to be. That's where I hoped. So I'm happy with that. So I have my goals, personal goals that I wanted to be in, and I think we did a pretty good job this year maintaining that. And now it's about turning the page. It's Monday morning. You got to go to work. And, the task at hand is there is no another weekend.
Right.
Right? This is it. Mm-hmm. So if you don't show up this week, probably not going to be in the lineup.
I was talking with my dad about this. He's the greatest hockey historian I know. And while he can't remember my birthday some years, but boy, he can tell you how many goals Gordie Howe scored in 1975 or whatever, all these things. I was talking to him about this and the difference of hockey playoffs and regular in playoffs for any other sport. And the first thing he does is he starts just rallying off goalies to me. Hasek and Roy and all this for us Blackhawk fans, Corey Crawford most recently, like these iron walls that exist in front of that goal and how like we've seen in football plenty of teams win with maybe an average to subpar quarterback. I've never seen a team get to like the third round of the playoffs with a bad goalie. Like you just don't see that. And more times than not, a hot goalie can win you a cup. Again, Dominic Hasek. I mean, that's one of the big names from that team and stuff. And that man almost single-handedly won them. And I don't want to take anything from the rest of the players, the coaching staff. But I mean, those of us that watched that playoffs were like, my God, I've never seen somebody like that at goal. How important is it for not just your goalies, but your team to believe in that goalie going into the playoffs? You mentioned wanting to preserve the shutout. Was that a little bit of that to going into the playoff and 1-0, 6-1 win? That's great to us as fans and everything, but you as a staff, 6-0, that big zero there for that goalie going into the playoffs. I got to imagine that means something.
It does, and I think having a shutout always does. It's and Ian stopped 49 shots.
He
had 10 shots, right?
Right.
He played very well. It's important. It's important for the team as a whole to understand to play that well defensively, mm-hmm. right? And make sure that you're, a lot of those shots are from the outside, and that's all because we really had to hone in on our defensive side of the puck. And it is very important because Ian now has got back-to-back shutouts,
mm-hmm.
okay? And he's the younger of the two.
Oh, yeah,
so
I didn't know.
Bohr is an 03, Ian's an 04,
mm-hmm.
right? So
okay.
Now you got Bohr, who played well and has been playing very well. But you know, now you got the question is who are you going to start, right? So, but the luxury is we have two very good goalies.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think at this point, I haven't really decided which way I'm going to go yet. You know, we'll see how the week plays out. But I think I'm just going to continue to do what I'm doing and maybe stick to the pattern and then we'll see. You know, if we win one, lose one, that kind of thing, then game three, that's a whole different ballgame,
yeah.
right? So. But I mean, I expect to win with either goalie,
mm-hmm.
And it's not about, they're good enough to win us games,
mm-hmm.
but if we play a certain way, we're good enough to beat everybody in the league. So it's not just on them, you know, it's on us,
yeah.
but, I'm confident in both of them for sure.
Before we let you go, Coach, let's go over the details of the playoffs and the next game coming up. It is a best of seven series. Best of three. I apologize. Best of three. I knew I'd read one or the other. And who are you guys going to be facing again?
The Minnesota Blue Ox.
Mm-hmm. How's that feel? How are you feeling going against them?
I'm not happy.
Yeah,
You know, that's the one team that was below us that we did not have a winning record against.
Mm-hmm.
Although the last time they came in here, the entire team was sick. Guys were hurt. You know, we just played miserable that weekend. So it'll be a different team.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about it. Again, as long as we do what we're supposed to be doing, we can beat anybody. I mean, it's just as simple as that. It's just being smart and being disciplined, you know. I'm confident about it.
When is game one?
Friday night, 7
o'clock. Friday night, 7 o'clock.
Right here in Rapids.
Mm-hmm. God, that feels good.
Fill it up, right?
Man, that feels good, you guys. That feels so good. Playoff hockey here in Rapids. Oh, love it. Coach, we're going to be filling the Southwick County Rec Center. We're going to show them what home ice advantage is. We're going to be pulling and rooting for you guys the whole way. But we're already so dang proud of this team, of this staff, and everything you guys have accomplished. It's a great young men that you guys have brought into town here. And we cannot thank you enough for a very, very entertaining season already. And looking forward to what's coming. And I don't just mean this playoffs. I mean going forward here. We're looking forward to that. I mean, this was your first year, bro. And this is how it's going. Like, I'm very excited about what's to come here. And I wins and losses are great. I'm so much more focused on the kind of kids you guys are bringing into town here, the kind of energy that the River Kings create. That stuff is I don't know how you describe it. I don't know how you put it into words.
And, you know, the other thing that we're grateful for is that you're taking your time to come in and talk to us pretty regularly,
mm-hmm.
and keeping us updated. That's very kind of you. We appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. And, you know, this is a little, like I said at the beginning, it's a little out of my comfort zone.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You guys make it easy, so I appreciate that. And I think it's important that, you know, I want everybody to understand who I am and who we are and what we're all about. And help grow this this game and this sport up and down the river, right? That's the name of the game.
Right on, so. Right on. You can help the Kings do that. You can go to their website right now for tickets or learn more, riverkingshockey.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. And again, playoffs kick off this Friday. Let's fill up the Southwick County Rec Center and show them what home ice advantage is. Thanks again for joining us, Coach.
Thank you. Appreciate it, buddy.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls. And we'll get into some local coverage here with Randy. All coming up on Playmakers, which is brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody. Playmakers being brought to you proudly by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. A big shout out to them. Get there for all your printing needs. Buy local, support local. Thank you, of course, to GM and Coach Peckman for joining us there. Every chance we get to talk River Kings hockey, we're going to take it, let alone as we're getting ready for the playoffs here. That was pretty cool, Randy, getting to talk to a playoff coach right before the playoffs. Like, I haven't gotten to experience a lot of that. I know that you've done a little of this in your, not a little, you've done quite a bit of that in your career. That's exciting, though. That I could feel from the coach right across from the board here and everything, the excitement.
That was the point I was just about to make, is that you can feel the excitement, you know, and between you, you know.
Yeah.
One gets more excited than the other as the questions grow and go along, and you're like, drop the puck now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
wait, it's only Monday. Settle down.
Yeah, but no, you're right, though. A couple of interesting things that kind of broke this morning already. For those that did not hear, Mark Lassery has agreed to sell the Bucks to the Haslams for $3.5 billion. The Milwaukee Bucks co-owner Mark Lassery has reached an agreement to sell his portion of the Bucks to the Cleveland Browns owners Jimmy and Dee Haslam for $3.5 billion. That is what ESPN is reporting. The deal is pending league approval, so there is that, but it does look like this is all but written and all but done. Now, what this means for Bucks fans, I don't think it honestly means too much. The Bucks have been shown you in the last couple of years that we'll spend, they'll go into luxury tax. So current ownership has not been like, they're the reason that we have the new Pfizer Forum and everything, these new owners and stuff. So I think one of the worries is when new ownership comes in is, well, how are they going to handle their money? Are they going to spend? Are they going to be smart with it? Or are they going to be, you know, they're just going to throw money at the wall?
And after buying for $3.5 billion, do they have any left?
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, especially, like, for those that don't know, the Haslams made their money off of those Flying J, like the pilot Flying J truck stops. Like, this isn't old money. This isn't, you know, this is newer-ish money, if you will. And if you've been paying attention to the Cleveland Browns at all, they have no problem, like, throwing money at stuff. They have no problem taking chances and all that stuff. Morals are maybe a little different category, but that's a case-by-case thing, and I'm not going to put that on anybody. That's everybody else's decisions to how they feel about that part. But I am a bit of a Milwaukee Bucks fan. They're, you know, right after the Bulls, they're my favorite team. My brother works there, so I've got some personal interest in everything. I worry about people's jobs whenever there's an ownership change. And again, journalistically mentioning that my brother works for the Milwaukee Herd and everything, the Wisconsin Herd. So I do have a little bit of a stake in this. But all that being said, I'm not worried. I wouldn't be too worried because are they going to spend money? Are they going to put a good team on the court? Well, the Haslams have shown you they care about winning. They want to win. They're trying to bring a championship to Cleveland so bad they brought in Deshaun Watson and all that mess and everything. Now, if that's going to work, I don't think so. I think the best days Deshaun Watson had were in Houston, but that's a whole other topic. As a Bucks fan, this seems like this should be okay. It should be like one of those things where when real true ownership change happens and it's done right, fans don't even know.
Right.
You know, I think that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, if we don't find out anything, nothing changes, we're like, I didn't know they changed ownership. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, how this is going to affect Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Drew Holiday, with the player options and free agency stuff coming up and everything. That's another, you know, question to have, I would assume, for audience, for people out there. But I don't know how much you can really learn, really, even in the next couple of months. That's stuff that we're going to find out how they handle this team in free agency when free agency happens. You're not going to find out until then. We're just past the trade deadline, so there's that, too. And I do think that what you mentioned, when you spend $3.5 billion, you know, that is a lot of that's a pretty big chunk of change. I don't know, you know, where Elon Musk is one of the richest people in the world, and after the money, what he spent on Twitter, he's trying to get his money back. Like, he's trying to make money off of Twitter now. I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibilities.
Yeah, and you think if you're buying a team that just won a championship a number of years ago, right? You're probably looking to have another one of those in your back pocket and gain some more notoriety and recognition, and of course that'll turn into money, I'm sure, as well.
I don't know if there's anything else here, any more meat on the bone for that one, but if you guys want to talk about it, this is the show to do it on, 424-2600. Call up with your sports thoughts and feelings. We want to hear from you. Feel free to call up and join us on the show. I did want to get into Major League Baseball as we're getting, you know, games are being played, and there's plenty going on right now. I've talked quite a bit about the rule changes and how I'm a big fan of them, and I'm excited about them.
Didn't take long, did it?
Didn't take long, and there isn't a whole lot of justice in the world. I think, you know, all of us have heard many times growing up, life isn't fair and all that. But the fact that San Diego Padre Manny Machado committed the first pitch clock violation is just so just to me. It's so perfect.
I mean, the moment you heard it, didn't you just chuckle?
Yes. It couldn't have happened to a better person, if you ask me. And the ego that is Manny Machado, I just thought that was too funny. I also thought it was pretty cool to see a guy like Max Scherzer, one of my favorite players of all time, come out and say he loves the new rules. They totally dictate pace. And as a senior in the sport, and I would say one of the faces of baseball, that's really cool to see. All we've seen is some people barking about this. It's nice to see somebody come out and be in favor of it. Let's see what you guys have to say. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Super. How are you today?
I wish I was in Maryville. That's about it right now.
Yeah, so. You got that right.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you started talking basketball. I mean, there's two things I want to talk about basketball. Is that the Bucks? I got a chance to, you know, watch. I had time to actually sit down and watch the Bucks last yesterday afternoon. As deep as the Bucks are right now, I really seriously think that There might be another championship coming this year.
Oh, I'm with you.
Well, that's got to be tough for Coach Bud to try to even get all those guys in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're 11 deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least. Yes, yes.
It's very unheard of. I mean, you know, they talked about that a lot yesterday, too.
Yeah, it's so darn exciting right now, this Bucks team, and the fact that you got a guy like, to me, the greatest player in the world right now, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is not happy with his game, who's still trying to add to his game. This kid is a multiple-time MVP champion, and they ask him, Giannis, what did you think about that? My mid-game. I've got to work on my mid-game. I've got to, you know, these kind of things. It's always his comments. I love it. I can't get enough of that. That's so Hakeem Olajuwon-like. It's so like, you know, I'm great at this, but I could always be better at this kind of thing.
And just to show you that depth that they've got, did Connaughton not score yesterday?
I thought he did. I thought he hit a couple of threes.
Okay, there was somebody that didn't score that I just kind of went,
Jay Crowder, I know, didn't have much points, but was a big factor. Okay. And that was cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember the box score on that, but it was just watching the Bucks and how they just, and I mean, once Middleton starts getting more healthier and get more games played and he gets that starting lineup, I mean, I guess it's a good problem to have.
Yes.
That if you got a deep bench like that, if, you know, especially here down the stretch, might be able to sit Giannis a little bit more, maybe sit Middleton a little bit more, and just to kind of give him a break to get ready for the playoff push. I don't know. It's just the way they looked yesterday and the way how deep they are. I can't see. Maybe the Celtics could, but I don't know if they have the depth where when you have, you know, just like you say in the NFL or even in hockey, if you're that you're healthy going into the playoffs and you know, strong, I mean, you should on paper come out and be the champion. So,
you know, they every year since Joel Embiid has kind of gained full form and grasped the game, they kind of put Philly out there as one of the teams to look out for. They got to prove it to me in the playoffs. I have yet to see Joel Embiid really show it in the playoffs, and that team really show it in the playoffs. I don't even know. I keep forgetting James Harden's even on that team. The drop off that he has had is insane. To me, if you want to the Eastern Conference Championship, if it goes the way I'd like it to with Milwaukee and Boston, that's the NBA Finals. Like that is going to be the finals right there, because whoever wins that to me is going to win the whole thing. And that is the two best teams in basketball right now, those two teams. Nothing against the West Coast teams and nothing against Denver and Jokic and all that stuff. Great team. Again, I haven't seen them prove it in the playoffs yet, so I can't put them too high up there. I've seen these other two teams really show something.
Well, even you know, one of the biggest proponents to Wisconsin sports, you got Stephen A. Smith on Get Up, and even at the halftime, you know, bragging about the Bucks, and he never does that. You know, You know, he's always been one of those guys that have, you know, always said, "Oh, it's Wisconsin team." Basically, they're not going to do nothing. But I'm pretty excited. I mean, I'm not a really big NBA fan, but just watching yesterday, and I mean, I'm pretty excited to see maybe another championship come to Milwaukee.
I see they got a new line of gear coming out. It's going to be called Bucks in Six. They're advertising. They said right now you can get it at the pro shop, they're saying.
Nice.
I mean, that's one thing with the NBA. There's constant change with uniform colors and different designs and stuff like that. It's just getting to be too much, you know, trying to keep up with all that. But
yeah, sometimes you turn on a game, you have to find out which team is which because the uniforms are so strange, right?
You're so right about this, yeah.
But I know that James and Randy, you guys are kind of big college basketball fans too. And we were kind of talking, you know, doing the water cooler talk this morning. I mean, I really think the Badgers will not be in the tournament. I think it might be the NIT they make. I really believe that this is probably Guard's last year as a Badger coach too.
I think they need to expand the field to about 128 teams because four top 10 teams fell again this weekend. I mean, there's,
you know, and you look at, I mean, we were, this is the one of the things that we talked about was look at North Carolina. They're probably in danger of not making the tournament. Duke,
and North Carolina was number one at the beginning of the year, weren't they?
Yeah. You know, and look at Kentucky. They may or may not make it. Mm-hmm. So some of these, you know, Kansas is out of that, you know, of the tournament last year that was, you know, highly ranked. Kansas might be the only team in. It's just showing that this transfer portal really does make a difference in the college basketball ranks.
You look at
you might have one. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, to your point, Rick Pitino is still out there coaching, for those that don't know, at Iona. And he has, like a lot of these kids with the transfer portal, they're letting people, letting be known, hey, I'm going to be in the portal, this kind of thing. Now Rick Pitino's doing that. Like, he's like, hey, basically, anybody that wants to hire me, like a big Power 5 conference or anything like that, like, I'm still working here. I'm looking for another championship. Like, and he could do it. Like, it's not far-fetched to think Rick Pitino gets a job at any of these schools. Say he takes the Notre Dame job or something like that and everything.
Right.
He gets a couple of good recruits in, give him a year or two, and it's Rick Pitino. I'm not gonna say that. Like, coaching has obviously not passed him by. He's still winning upsetting teams at Iona. I can't imagine what he'd do with a good team, you know, a good university.
Probably get in the top 10 and get upset.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, though, that's too, good. Is if you look at it, out of all the number ones that you could, I mean, there's so many combinations of number ones this year. I mean, they're talking Purdue could be a number one if they win the Big Ten championship.
And they just lost how many in a row now?
Alabama. What's that?
And how many did Purdue just lose in a row now?
Yeah. You know, and now as a fan, you know, getting all the brackets and all this stuff, you probably will never even see anybody close to a complete, you know, sweep on the brackets and having, you know, undefeated on that, because I really think, and I said it this weekend, yesterday with some friends, a number one's going to get bounced the first weekend of the tournament.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
definitely could happen, right? I think I think when you fill out your brackets this year, you're going to have to pull a Diane Chambers and say a bear beats a cub or something, because you're not going to be able to fill those out.
Yeah, their uniforms are blue. I like blue better than the red.
How else? Because you got just as good a chance of being right.
Really? Yeah, yeah. we are definitely filling out brackets this year, by the way. Right. We don't always keep up on that. Some years we do, some years we don't. This year we are definitely doing this, because just out of the sheer chaos of all of this and seeing what happens, I'm excited about it. I'm enjoying it. A lot of people, especially old heads, will tell you, like historians of the sports will tell you, that whether it's the NBA or the NCAA, it's better when we have these blue bloods, when we have the old thing that they used to say all the time when I was a kid. Well, the NBA is better when the Knicks are relevant and this kind of stuff. I think the sports have proven it doesn't matter, you know, if it's Oklahoma City, it's New York, it doesn't matter what the city is. If it's good basketball, we're going to watch. To me, this is exciting basketball. I like the idea of not being able to predict, you know, do I have Purdue going on and getting to the Final Four, or do I have them losing in the first round? And either are likely. No, there's no far-fetched scenario there. Any scenario is not far-fetched, which is kind of exciting as fans.
You know, and that's the thing. You know, you try to, you know, the seeding. I'm not a big fan of the NCAA, the committees and stuff like that, but this might be their toughest year.
Yeah.
In seeding teams.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate the call as always, sir. Thanks a lot. You have a good week. We'll talk again next week, probably.
All right. Sounds good. You guys have a great week.
You too.
Yeah. Got to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. Randy will have some local news and notes for us when we get back here on Playmakers, which is brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Randy and James here with you. And Randy's got some local coverage for us. How's it going over there with that? Randy, you got, I shouldn't say some. You've got a lot over there.
It's a we've said this for weeks now, it's a busy time of year. I think this may be the busiest week for high school sports. Regional girls basketball action in the Valley on Tuesday. Rapids rolled D.C. Everest 53-38. Kristen Radke led Lincoln with 15 points. Then on Friday, the Raiders fell at Nina 81-36. Jaslyn Redcloud had 13 points for Lincoln. Spash ousted Oshkosh West 58-46, but lost on Saturday to second-ranked Nina 65-44. Marshfield had an easy time with Holman 65-41 before falling to fifth-ranked Hortonville 61-43. A big second half helped Wausau West past Appleton East 73-70. The Warriors then upset number 2 seed and 10th-ranked Superior 54-51 on Saturday. Merrill got by Antigo 56-32, then got leveled by Lakeland 66-25. And Wausau East topped Ashland 67-48 before they too were eliminated by Lakeland 89-38. In the Marywood South, the 6th-ranked Assumption Royals popped Port Edwards 70-13, rallied past Pacelli 60-39, and held off iScan 67-55 to win their third straight regional championship. Anna Schooley in that game against iScan had 20 points, Addie Vollert 15, and Jordan Jaglinski, I'll get it yet, had 11 points. So now they will face Edgar on Thursday night in Athens. They played twice already this year. The Royals have won twice on December 6th at Assumption. They were victorious 46-34. And then on January 26th at Edgar, the Royals were winners again 46-35. So see if the third time's the charm for them as well. Marathon is out as they lose to Auburndale 56-37, and then on Saturday the Eagles lost to 8th-ranked St. Mary's Catholic 77-56. Stratford, they whipped Wyawega Fremont 56-21, but then they were eliminated by Whitburn 53-26. In the Central Wisconsin South Conference, Almond Bancroft got past Prentice 58-43 before falling to iScan 57-50. Wild Rose stomped Stockbridge 64-14, clipped Central Wisconsin Christian 68-34, but lost at 9th-ranked Lord's Academy 91-52. Pittsville fell in the opening round to Alma Pepin 59-44, and before losing to Assumption, Pacelli rallied past Rochold 44-43. In the South Central Conference, Nakusa was stopped in their playoff opener 63-28 by Marathon. Second-ranked Westfield beat Manawa 65-23 on Friday, and on Saturday they stopped Whitburn 60-35. The Dells dumped Mauston 63-34 before losing to Elk Mound 53-49. Wautoma was 3 better than Mayville 41-38, but lost at Lakeside Lutheran 55-46. And Adams Friendship beat Black River Falls 47-35 before falling at Altoona to the Rails 51-28. So now it's sectional time for the girls. For the boys, things are going to start this week. We'll start off in the Valley last Monday in a game you heard on our sister station, WIRI. Wisconsin Rapids pulled out a close victory over Toma, 56-49. Evan Matthews led Rapids with 23 points. And then on Friday, D.C. Everest got the better of Lincoln, 70-48. And tomorrow night, Rapids begins the tournament trail at Oshkosh West. Elsewhere in the Valley, Marshfield mauled Merrill, 84-52. Point held off Wausau East 73-61, and Three Dubs got dumped by Medford 68-44. Marywood South action, Assumption trailed Marathon by 4 at the break before the Red Raiders gradually pulled away 76-46. Ryan Shaw knocked in 25 points and now is just 10 shy of 1,000, which he hopes to secure tomorrow night at Wild Rose in a regional quarterfinal. Also, Newman had little trouble with Stratford, 68-46, and Auburndale leveled Edgar, 53-27. Central Wisconsin South action, Port Bomb Bowler, 69-39 on Friday. Then on Saturday, lost at home to Pacelli, 70-58. Nathan Gibbs led Port Edwards with 25 points, and Brendan Beck added 11. The Blackhawks host Tigerton at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Almond Bancroft blasted Gresham 89-30 on Friday, and then on Saturday did the same to Wild Rose 64-33. Pittsville, led by Sam Bowden and Jack Redman with 16 points apiece, ripped Rochold 76-53, and Tri-County got whipped by Tigerton 72-24. South Central Conference action, Nakusa fell at Adams Friendship 64-45. The Papermakers begin the tournament trail at Edgar tomorrow night. The Dells wins the conference in a perfect 10-0 away, as they were 10 better than Wautoma, 65-55, and Mauston won at Westfield, 60-45. At the state tournament at the Kohl Center in wrestling this past weekend, only Wisconsin Rapids' Carter Freeman brought home hardware, as he finished fourth at 126 pounds. Girls sectional gymnastics took place in Chippewa Falls with 9 teams competing, and the co-op team of Chi High and McDonald Catholic captured first place, with Wisconsin Rapids finishing in fifth. For Lincoln, Destiny Steinhoffel came in eighth all around and seventh on the uneven bars. Fiona Galgert took eighth in the floor exercise, while Emily Harches was 10th on the balance beam and 11th in the vault. The state tournament, Friday and Saturday, guess where?
Right here.
Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah.
And in boys high school hockey action from this past week in Division I, 8-seeded Wisconsin Rapids lost at number 4 seed Hudson 6-3, while number 2 Spash fell to number 3 Superior 4-2. And then in the sectional finals, Hudson goes to state with a 3-1 upset win over Superior. In Division II, number 2 Mosinee topped the 3rd seed Hodags 3-1 before upsetting number 1 seed Lakeland 2-1. So Mosinee is off to state this coming weekend. And that's all that's going on in the area.
Whew, take a breather, Red. Get one of those oxygen things for the guy, NFL guys they have on the sideline there. Really. Nice work, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun catching up on all of that.
And a lot of fun stuff there. A lot of exciting information, a lot of things. Is there any highlights you want to touch on from that list there? Because there's a lot of great stuff. I don't even know where to begin.
I know. You know, exciting time with the boys. All of the area teams are on the road. Mm. You know, we talk, except I believe Port Edwards is at home. For the girls, exciting time for Assumption Royals once again. Still learning to deal with playing without Sarah Shaw. A lot of girls had to step up this last Saturday. There were a lot of fouls called in that game. Both teams were in the bonus early and often. But the Royals did a nice job of adjusting and not, you know, having a lot of them fall out, and their bench showed their depth. You know, they're going to Athens on Thursday to take on Edgar. It's always tough to feed a team a third time. And right now, Edgar is really on a roll. Yeah. I just kind of glanced at it, and I didn't count it up, but it looks like they've won at least 10 or 11 in a row. I think their last loss was maybe 2 Assumption.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is going to be quite an atmosphere up in Athens on Thursday
night. That's going to be a motivated game both sides.
Yeah, we're hoping to get up there and broadcast that and bring that back to you, too.
And we'll let you know as soon as we do if we'll be able to bring that game to you guys. Really going forward here, I would imagine that's going to be how a lot of the playoffs go. And, you know, longtime listeners get that. They know how this works.
The other interesting part is if Assumption would win, then they would play in the sectional final. And right now the thought is they would face either Wabino Leona, who they've already played this year and defeated, or Sevastopol, who's up in Sturgeon Bay area, who has a good team. The coach in there has 2 daughters on that team, and they're very good. And right now, that's scheduled for Rhinelander. Now, let's say Sevastopol wins that game. Are they going to have Sevastopol from Sturgeon Bay come all the way to Rhinelander? A lot of times they'll move those games. So there's talk that maybe they would move it to someplace like maybe a Shawano, maybe an Appleton area. So that all depends upon what happens. But even if Edgar would win, I still think that scenario might play out as well. So
agreed.
You just have to keep it tuned here, and we'll let you know.
Yep, we will keep you up to date on all of that. And again, thanks for all the great work there, Randy. 424-2600, that is no phone number to call up and join the conversation if you'd like to. We'd love to hear from you all out there. I did want to touch on baseball a little bit. As they are, you know, pitchers and catchers have reported, there are exhibition games being played. Randy and I started off talking about the beautiful poetic justice of Manny Machado being the first to be guilty of this kind of thing. And he's also and he's asked for this because he's barked the most about it as far as recently about the rule changes and that. And his... you know, even if this is what he thinks in his head, you know, there's what you say out loud and what you think in your head a lot of times in life. And I got no problem with whatever goes on in the person's mind. That's your own business. But man, when you let it out, you know, and it's just kind of like you said the quiet part loud, you know, and that's Manny Machado. That's it. That's been his whole career. It's the way he plays. It's the way he is and stuff. And if you're a fan of his, you're a fan of that. If not, you're not. I've never been a fan of the guy since his Baltimore days. I don't like his style of play. I don't appreciate that kind of ego. I don't mind a healthy ego in sports because that's how a lot of these guys get there. But the idea that, no, they've got to adapt to us, the players, because the players, they're going to have a problem with this. The players are going to have an issue with this. There may be nobody who is more superstitious in all of sports, the whole world around, I'm talking cricket to football, than baseball players, especially major league starting pitchers. And I think that maybe next to a Verlander, the most senior of that class is Max Scherzer. And if Max Scherzer isn't having issues with this stuff, if I'm an MLB player, any year younger than him, or doesn't have the stature that he has, I'm looking at that and I'm like, well, what do I got to complain about? I mean, especially if I'm a hitter. I mean, hitters have almost one of the easiest times here. That's what I think is so funny about this. I thought it was going to happen to a pitcher. It happens to a ball player the first time. That's pretty funny. A batter, I should say.
Yeah, and I think it happened. It ended a game too, didn't it?
Yes.
With the Braves, maybe?
Yeah.
I think that happened where all of a sudden he thought it got ball four. He was walking down, walk off RBI. Turns out they called him on the time clock, and that was how the game ended. Of course, it was preseason.
Let's see what you guys think. Good morning. You're on Playmakers. Good morning. Oh, here we go. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Yes. I got to see something I haven't seen in like 140 game days. A game of baseball on TV. I was so excited Saturday to watch that game.
I thought about you when that came on. Yeah, I thought, yeah. I bet you are going to have yourself a day.
Yeah, I actually put it on my Facebook account. First baseball game of the season on TV. Happy, happy, happy.
Yes, yes.
It's like Christmas in February.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I can't wait till.
What did you take away from that first game?
Well, they were pretty strict on that time clock. I mean, it was called a couple different times for not being ready for the pitch or not being ready to bat at the right time. So that was pretty good. Hmm. And I'm happy with the no shift. That's going to make a whole lot better for Rowdy.
Yeah. I think the no shift is going to be a big deal, a lot bigger than I realized. I was so focused on the pitch clock and a lot of those things, and the idea that maybe stolen bases might be up. I get so excited about that that I didn't. Some of these other rules, I just kind of skated past. I think that's a really, really important one. That should be interesting.
Yeah, especially for those dead pull hitters that are left-handers. I read something this winter as well that they thought this would really benefit Rowdy because he had so many of those deep ground balls that were, you know, into the shift that he wasn't able to beat out for base hits.
Yeah, you're going to have they can actually take the shortstop and put him in second base and the second baseman over the first base if there's an all left-handed liner coming up, but they can't change it during the inning. They have to leave it that way the whole inning.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that, and I said, I didn't know how to do that. So I'm happy that we have another Wisconsin kid on minor league roster also. So.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of
Owen. Yeah, that kid Owen. Yeah, he's. I'm going to be focused.
No, Owen from.
Did I say Owen? Right. I didn't mean that. Sorry. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
His name's Caleb.
Caleb. Darn it.
It's B-O-U-S-H-L-U-R. He's from Hortonville. He actually played for lacrosse last time in college. Yeah.
Sir, if you don't mind me asking, how long have you been watching baseball?
I think my dad took my brothers and I to baseball back from 57 before the World Series.
That's so cool. That just as a side note, that's really cool.
My mom would listen to it on the radio all the time. If we come out in the kitchen and she had the game on, we can't ask her any questions at all. She had her ears on that radio all the time.
So you've seen a lot of changes in baseball over the years. You were alive to see the lowering of the mound and so many of these different things. So the idea that baseball can't adapt, it seems very silly to me. Baseball's been doing this since the dead ball era, things like that, the lowering the mound in 68. They've done this before. It's not as if baseball hasn't been adaptable before. I find that like the older fans of the sport of baseball, they don't seem to have as much of an issue with this as the younger people do. And I felt that was pretty weird because I thought baseball was doing this to try to get young people to watch the sport. I find that very weird to me. Do you seem to be in favor of a lot of the changes? You seem to be okay with these things.
Yeah, it's going to speed things up. We live here in Wisconsin Rapids. This is 3 hours away. Mm. So we go to a game down there. We'll probably get out of there a half hour, 45 minutes earlier than normal. So that's going to help out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go to a night game right now in Milwaukee because I don't want to get home at 2 o'clock. I'm going to be 79 in a few months, so I don't want to be going to a night game and get home at 2 o'clock in the morning. So
It's interesting. I always always like talking with you, sir. You know, you feel like it, you're able to, please be sure to join us next Monday, okay?
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Play ball.
You know, it's very interesting. We've talked about that quite often, how we're blessed to be able to watch the Brewers on TV and have the rafters here in town because in 5 minutes after the game, you're home.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
When living here in central or northern Wisconsin, you know, you got yourself a long haul after a game. And I heard now recently that if you're going to go to, I can't remember if it's the Bucks or the Brewers, but if you want to stay overnight to see a game like with the Packers, if you're going to get a motel, you got to book it for two nights. And I think I heard the same things happening now. And I can't if it remembers the Bucks or the Brewers. But, you know, if you got a night game, just like you said, you really can't come home. Well, you can. But most people would be like, I'm going to want to stay overnight because it's a long trip. And that's just here in the middle of Wisconsin. If you're talking northern Wisconsin, you almost make a weekend out of it.
I think if you're a fan of baseball, you've got to be at least, I would say, leaning towards the positive when these rule changes than leaning towards the negative. I've always liked Bob Ryan, longtime sports journalist out of Boston, incredible writer, great mind, knows the sport way better than I ever will or anything. And I was a little just taken back that he's not a big fan of a lot of these things. And I was a little surprised by that because he's one of the guys that I've heard also talk about, hey, we got to keep the game fresh. We got to keep the game alive. Live. You are seeing the numbers of not just kids that want to play baseball, but especially, you know, ethnic people playing baseball, a lot of this. You're seeing a lot of people go into other sports, and baseball's numbers dwindling. Hey, how do I keep young people not just watching the sport, playing the sport? For every kid that wants to pick up a bat and be the next, you know, great hitter or anything like that, we also need the kids that maybe are never going to do anything, never even play high school baseball, but they're a fan of the sport. I got them for life. They're going to be watching, they're going to watch their team the rest of their life. We're not making as many of those anymore. So much of sports is something that we don't think about it this way, but it's a hand down. It's a family heirloom. It's, hey, these are the teams that I watched my whole life and your grandfather watched, and here you go. This is your team. And baseball may be like that more than any other. I think that out of the four major sports, baseball is the most regional. We know our announcers. We know Bob Uecker is a word here. It's not. It's like a verb. It's its own thing and everything. If you want that sport to survive, if you want it to keep having great, talented athletes and all that, I think you almost have to be in favor of this stuff. And I encourage those that are not that are on the fence on this, go back to look at some of the reporting that was done in 68. When baseball was, there were some players even saying back then, well, this is the lowering of the mound is going to kill the sport, and pitchers aren't going to have any control anymore. They're not going to be able, there's never going to be any more no hitters or anything like that. This was after that mound change was after. I mean, Nolan Ryan came after that, and the all-time strikeout king, the guy who as far as rule or things that are never going to be broken, I don't think Nolan Ryan's amount of no hitters he has, anybody's ever even going to come close to that. He's got 7 no hitters, I believe. Nobody's come close to that. I don't think anybody will ever even get close to that one. I think that, you know, baseball has proven itself over its 100-some years. We can adapt. We can make changes, and it'll be better for the sport.
You know, so many things that you just said that popped into my mind. Talk about generational. Hmm. My grandparents, both my grandfathers, were born before there was an NFL. Okay.
Wow.
Now my grandsons, when the Packers play, we all get together and we cheer for the Packers because my grandpa did it when it came into the Packers came in 1919, 1921. Mm-hmm. And so then it went to my father, to me, to my sons, to their sons now. And we all just, you know, it's just a family thing that you do. With as far as these changes are concerned also, yes, you know, that'll be interesting. After a while, will we even talk about, oh, I can't even hardly remember. Yeah. Like you think of the DH, right?
Yes.
There's an example.
Yeah.
You know, we're never going to have a DH in the National League. And now it's like, yeah, but, you know, it's kind of fun not having to see pitchers hit.
Yeah.
You know, because it's fun when they would get an occasional hit or a home run or whatever. But for the most part, it was almost an automatic out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it just seems it keeps the game more exciting and interesting. So will these rule changes do the same? Maybe someday, you know, our grandchildren will look back and go, boy, I don't remember a time when there wasn't a pitch count or a pitch clock.
That's wild.
Yeah. So,
but you're right. Yeah. Because I don't think this is going anywhere. I don't think that no matter what happens this season, even if it's a train wreck, that they're going to, like, all these rules are going to go away or anything like that. To that point, they're still having the extra, the runner on second or whatever, and extra innings and a lot of that. If you love the sport, you have to love the fact that they're trying to keep people ratings up. They're trying to care about that stuff. Because if they lose advertisers, that's when you're going to start losing baseball. That's, you know, and that's what this all comes down to. They could tell you that they're doing this for the fans and everything like that. And I'm not saying that they're completely lying, but it could be half this and half that. It could be, and maybe leaning a little bit more towards, hey, advertisers are starting to pull from us because our games are going too long. Our attendance is down because our games are too long. That I love baseball, so I care about that stuff. Do I think it's for the betterment of the game if we're going to make the game that much stronger or better? I don't know. None of us do. We'll see how this plays out.
And they may have to tweak a few things, right?
Right.
Maybe the amount of time that they give them because they're finding out it's too short or too long. But that's, you got to start somewhere, right? And it's good that they got the preseason. They can start making some of those adjustments, get a little bit used to it, right?
The NFL can't figure out what a catch is.
Yeah.
Like, they can't even figure that out. None of us do. None of us know.
No.
Even the announcers calling the games half the time aren't sure. They're only right 50% of the time. That's the biggest game in town, the NFL. Right. So I think that we could also have some grace with this, too, and be like, let's see how this goes. Let's see how this figures out. And at the very least, we can all take comfort in some poetic justice that Manny Machado was the first to be guilty of this.
If you're going to end a show on a thought, there's no better thought to end it on.
I did want to mention real quickly, we did have some cancellations. We did mention earlier on the morning show that the ADRC has canceled Meals on Wheels for today and senior dining. Of course, our schools are on virtual learning today. And Pam brought this in. Thank you, Pam. The community blood drive scheduled for today from 2 to 7 at the former East Junior High School music room is canceled for today. We'll keep you up to date and let you know when they reschedule these things. And that goes the same for sports, you know, and not just with the weather, but just trying to figure things out behind the scenes here. We'll keep you up to date on what games we're going to be able to broadcast for you. And we'll be able to cover it all, though. We'll be doing that as we go along here throughout the playoffs. Be sure to join us next Monday for more. Randy, cannot thank you enough for the time.
Always great to be here.
And a big thank you to Coach Peckman for joining us, too. Support your River Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. Go to riverkingshockey.com.
Playoffs this weekend.
Yes, yes. And one last shout-out, Quality Plus Printing. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Phil.
Be sure to join all the great listeners that called in. We'll be sure to have more Playmakers for you next Monday right here at
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.